you want coffee? I would like to come in and read the Word of God. Now look, if you are on your way to heaven, and I am on the way to hell, what is this to you?
There's some wonderful people overnight. I think Matt Schneid is brilliant, and Arpo Martin is brilliant, but I don't know how many people get to hear them. And I want to say thanks. A tremendous job.
Well, thank you very much for that.
History. I'm your curator and janitor, Max Schmid. And it's time now for our lost episode of Gene Shepherd from, once again, from the Gary Hines collection. From this very day in history, well, maybe it's tomorrow, today, you pick 'em. But nonetheless, it's about selling cheap guitars and full bookshelves. And drinking that muddy water, oh, with my head and my feet in the hall or something. Do you look like a guitar player? Well, we'll find out as we ask for a cheap guitar from Gene Shepherd, October 10th, 1962, to wrap up today's program.
see here. What night is this? This is Wednesday night, isn't it? Has it ever occurred to you that it's getting harder to know what day it is? And it's even difficult sometimes, with the way life is moving these days, to even know what year it is. I had a very embarrassing moment here at my friendly bank, and it's a very friendly bank. As a matter of fact, you know that I've been going to that bank ever since I lived here in New York, and they still won't cash my checks, Ed. No, I have to take it to some other guy, and then I go to another. Here? What are you kidding? They'd never cash my check here. Seriously, they won't cash. Listen, WRO won't even cash its own checks. It knows better than that. And, you know. No, it's a funny thing. And this very bank that I go to, this bank makes a great big notion on the air. Makes a big deal about how friendly it is and how wonderful and warm it is. And the only thing that's warm there is the second radiator from the left when you come in. You have to stand pretty long in front of that one to know that it's warm, actually. But I keep getting shunted from vice president to vice president. I keep saying, well, look, I've been here before, man. He said, I know, that's why we want you to get it okayed. I said, what do you mean? I don't know, I guess there's something sneaky in my eye. Well, you know, speaking of something sneaky, if you look around, I suspect that the little things that are way down at the bottom of all the big things are where you're really going to find out what it is truly about. I'm serious when I say that. I'm not putting it on. I say that you will find out more about 20th century life lived in a country that's deep in the 20th century by listening, let us say, to the second worst radio station on any dial. Really, you'll learn a lot about what the world is about. You know, a lot of people out there, it's a fascinating thing. A lot of people think, in fact, a kid is writing a paper on radio. Guy's writing a doctor's thesis or something on radio, and he came up here and he wanted to interview me about it. And the great illusion that so many people have is that all the tripe you see on television and all the tripe you hear on radio is there because a small group of sinister people who are bound on selling their stuff are foisting it off on the public, who, if they had their choice, would pick all kinds of better stuff. No, they really believe this. This is one of the great beliefs held by that little mystical group who is always writing articles about various things, none of which they've really thought out. It's a kind of cant, you know. I wish it was that easy. I just wish it were. The sad fact of it is that most of this jazz, most of it, almost all of it's on there because there's 87 million people who love it. They sit out there and wallow in it. And of course, the idea is that if everybody would put better stuff on, those people would be raised to the better level. You know, they'd have to be raised right up to a better level. Well, the truth of the matter is that if you started to put good stuff on, all they would do would be to turn the set off and start drinking beer and go out for a walk. If you're lucky. I don't think they'd go out for a walk. They'd go out for something else, if I know that crew. On the way, they might walk a little bit. But that's really the way it is. Because here's a little note right out of... Now, you know as well as I do that the New York Times is a very official journal. And what is more official than the New York Times book review section? Well, all right, now, the implication about, you know, this book review section is very popular. Millions of people get it every Sunday. Well, now, the idea is that all those people read that. Well, they do. But the question then arises, do they read the books that the book review section writes about? Well, now that's a moot point. It's so moot that most of the publishers are bailing most of the time. If you even guys with bestsellers, I'm serious, they got the bilge pumps going night and day to keep the water from coming in on them. And you begin to see the real truth of it, Ed, way down at the bottom of one of the pages of the New York Times book review section. I point out, this is the very official intellectual section, and it's down at the bottom of one of the pages, and here's what it says. It says, now you can fill your empty bookcases. 20 handsome, brand new books, colorful jackets, cloth bindings, all different, regularly over $45, make fine gifts too. Now only $5 for all 45 of them. You can now fill, with no trouble at all, your empty bookcase, or 40 books for $9. Yes, money back guarantee if you are not satisfied. Send your name and address to Full Book House, Full Bookshelves, New York Times, Box 6 SJ7. Yes, sir, that's my baby. Oh!
A cup of coffee, a sandwich,
and you, baby.
A cozy corner.
Not a little bit. All right, all right. Cut it, guys. Stop it, you. A bunch of fatheads singing and picking and hollering. Now, I say that that says something, that ad. Well, if you don't think that it does, have you looked at any of the house magazines? Well, there's a million of them on the market because real estate is much more valuable than lives today that are lived in the real estates that people own. In other words, the homes, you know the homes, better homes and gardens and all that stuff. Well, they run heavily to all kinds of articles about decorating. And I'll tell you, you'll look a long time before you find any decorating schemes that include bookshelves. And if they do include bookshelves, you'll look a long time to see any books on them shelves. The way they put it, it's a wonderful thing for knickknacks. All those wonderful souvenirs that you bring back from all them trips that you take all around the world, and it's a lot of fun, too, to paint them in contrasting colors. I was kind of debating tonight. That sound good? Well, folks, it's so little Texas Jimmy Watson here this morning. We're going to pick and sing. We're going to play some tunes that I think all you've been rating in and asking for. And by the way, I want to tell you, I want to thank all of you for all them letters you've been rating in and asking for tunes and dedications, one thing, another. And I want to tell you one thing. You just keep them letters coming in. What do you say, huh? Well, this morning we're going to play and we're going to sing. We're going to give you a little news. We're going to tell you the time, the temperature. Ooh. And we do a little business, too. What do you say, huh? And now, how about two that all of you have been written in and asking for, and one that has proven to be a top favorite with you? What's the matter, Ed? You want it up? Louder. You want the guitar louder? You want me louder? Well, folks, I'm having a little trouble with my engineer. He said, can't hear the guitar. All right, folks, let's go. Gonna drink muddy water down at the river. Gonna go down to that great big old black oily river. Gonna drink muddy water down at the river. Cause you done cut out on me, baby. Down at the river, down at that river. Went down to that river to drink muddy water. Down that old black muddy river to drink muddy water. See a big fat speckled bird down that river. Come flying up to me and say, what you doing down here down this river? I say to him, none of your business. He say to me, what you doing here down at my river, my own river? I say to him, this ain't your river, this is my river. He say to me, it's my river. I say to you, it's none of your river. He flew away, he cut out, flew away, just like you, baby. He cut out on me, just like you done cut out on me. So I's gonna sleep in the kitchen, feet's in the hall. Oh, I's gonna drink muddy water down at that old black oily river. Down that old black wet oily river. Gonna sleep in the kitchen with the feet in the hall. And on Sunday too. Oh, the big fat speckled bird. He done come flying back to me and he say, how come? What for? What for are you gonna drink
muddy water down here at my old river. I say to him, you get out of here, none of your business no more. You just go on, get out of here. Because my baby, my old baby, she done cut out on me. Going to sleep in the kitchen. Feet in the hall. Gonna drink muddy water. Muddy water out of that big old flag. Terrible oily river. Cause you cut out on me, baby. You didn't cut out on me, baby. Just like that big old fat speckled bird. Gonna drink muddy water. Well, folks, that's our first tune this morning on this program. We got all kinds of fine tunes been written in for asking for you. And before we go any further, I'd like to do a little business here on behalf of P. Runup. And also, we'd like to tell you about Double Check Chick Feed. That wonderful chick feed, if you're having trouble with Pip, if you're having trouble with the hives, if your birds are producing too many culls for you and not enough eggs, I want you to drop into your chick feed dealer and ask him about Double Check Chick Feed. And this is old Texas Jimmy Watson a-coming and a-singing and a-playing and a-picking for you here this morning. We'll give you time, news, and temperature. We're going to have a lot of fun. And now let's see. I'd kind of like to do you a tune that we've been getting all kinds of requests for. Let's see. Do-do-do-do. Yes, that's where she goes. Yeah, it's kind of nice. Isn't that nice chord, folks? Listen to that. Please come back to the Red River Valley. Please come back to a heart that is true. I'll be here in the Red River Valley. Oh, I'll be waiting, my darling, for you. You want me to do another chorus of that for you, folks? You like another chorus of that? Okay, there. Here we go. Oh, my darling, I know you are leaving. Though you say it is just for a while. Oh, I know better than that, baby. But, my darling, you know I'll be grieving for the sound of your voice and your smile. How'd you like that, folks? Would you like to have another tune? Oh, boy. Huh? You like that? This is WWEA here in the heart of the Wheeling Valley. And we're... speaking of clinkers, this is WOR. And we'll be here until midnight. I just wonder what somebody thought, well, listening, you know, just tuning in out of the blue there, what was happening. Well, I'll tell you, the very funny thing. I'll tell you all about it in case you're interested. I never thought this would happen to me. For a long time, listen to this. If you think that's great, listen to this one. Listen to this one now. Bum, 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 bididoo. Come here, baby. You just come right over here. I want to talk to you. Dee-ba-ba-boom. Yeah, you just come right over here. I want to sit right down. I want to talk right into your shell pink ear. I want to talk business with you. Dee-dee-dee-ba-ba-boo-bee-dee. How do you like that chord? The reason I'm doing this, in case you're wondering what in the world's happened, is because for a long time, I'm fascinated by a whole section of the American world that has hardly ever been talked about. And before we go any further, I'd like to also say this. A couple of weeks ago, I used to have a guitar when I was about 9 years old. I'll never forget. It was a terrible trauma. I had worked on my old man
and my mother. And don't please write in and say, please, Mr. Shepherd, don't say your old man, because he was my old man. Anyway, I worked on them for about a year. And this was in the heart of the Depression. I wanted a guitar. I wanted a guitar more than anything I'd ever wanted. I'll never forget that. I bugged them for one solid year. And so Christmas time came around, and by George, they popped. I got a guitar, a real Sears Roebuck guitar. Now, it was a terrible-looking guitar, now that I think back on it, but it looked fantastic to me. It was a full-size guitar, and it wasn't the kind of guitar, you know, that you hear, the guys talking about on the radio. Yes, you can own yourself a $600 guitar with your name inscribed in neon lights on the side. It's all plugged in there. It's an electric guitar. It's one of those beautiful Hawaiian types that make those nice, boing, that nice sound that you all love. It wasn't that kind. It was a straight guitar. And this guitar, it was a peculiar color. It was an orange, yellowish, sort of pinkish guitar. Yeah, it was a very strange looking color guitar, and it cost about $7.50. I'd say $7.50 cash. If you paid time, it was about $9, and it was a real guitar. See, so I got this thing, and of course a book came along with it. Well, I was out of my skull, and it just. Fantastic. Of course, the first thing that I found out is the guitar is not that easy. And I also found out that you shouldn't have been born a people. You should have been born a tarantula. At least you should have a tarantula hanging on the end of each wrist. You know, long, skinny fingers and about eight of them all working at once. Well, I got all hooked on this thing, and I had it for about, well, I was really getting involved, and I had it for about 8 or 9 weeks. And one Sunday, we took it to Chicago. I used to carry it with me all the time. I couldn't play it or anything. I just loved to carry it. So I took it to Chicago, and I went out with my cousins. They lived in a great big apartment house up there on the north side. And we went out, and we used to go out and follow drunks is what we used to do. Yeah, that was a big thing in Chicago. You know, there's a corner tavern on every corner in Chicago, and they have corner taverns in the middle of the block. In Chicago, and they have corner taverns between the corner taverns in the middle of the block and the ones on the corner of the block, and they all call themselves the Friendly Corner Tavern. And when you ask one of those guys in the middle, he says, well, it used to be the corner here. They built some buildings out there on the other side. And the facts of the matter are, really, Chicago's about 75% taverns. So drunk chasing was a big thing, and we used to go out, and me and my kid brother and a couple of cousins would go out on a Sunday, and we would follow the drunks around. It was a big deal. We had a great time. Well, we're out following the drunks one Sunday. We're following drunks all over the south side and all over the north side and having a great time. And we would follow them in the streetcars. You know, once in a while, a drunk would get staggered. And then they'd ask us instructions, you see. That was one of the things. Drunk would say, hey, there's nowhere. I got the Elston Avenue car. I want to get to Elston Avenue. And you'd say, Elston, you ask it for Elston Avenue? Yeah, Elston Avenue. And said, well, you see that green streetcar coming down there, the one that's marked Western Avenue, you get on that one. Well, about 4 hours later, he'd be in Cicero. Which is, and so we loved to do this. So we came back one day, and that was the day I had my guitar. This was the day of the terrible disaster. Came back. And I noticed right away when I got in the house, we were visiting my grandmother, and it was always all the relatives were there, 19 cousins, 74 uncles, the whole shooting match. And I arrived there, all the kids were playing around, and it was a funny thing. It was a strange atmosphere. And then it came out. My mother says, come into the kitchen, will you? And I came into the kitchen. She says, I want to tell you something. I don't want to have any fits. I don't want any crying. I don't want any yelling. I don't want anything now. I said, what's the matter? She says, Uncle Fred sat on your guitar. She says, you had no business putting it on the bed under the coats. You put it in the bedroom. You put it on the bed. I've told you a long time to put that guitar away when you're not playing with it. They break. Now, your father and me spent $7.50 on that guitar, and I want to tell you that... Well, I wasn't hearing a thing, and she was mad. What had happened, I haven't done it yet, it's all right. What had happened was that Uncle Fred had, and he was, and I have to tell you this, Uncle Fred was out of work, everybody was out of work, Nobody's going to go out and buy a new guitar. And my guitar, oh, was it squashed. It was split in the front. It was split in the back. And it was just, it was shot, you know. That was the end of it. Well, I have never forgotten that. Never, ever forgotten that. What brought all this up, I want to tell you what brought all of it up. A couple of days ago, I am on 49th Street. And this is just exactly how it happens. It was a strange routine. I'm walking on 49th Street, and I turn on 5th Avenue, and I come up. And I meet a salesman here at WOR, one of the boys here. And he said, how about going out to lunch with me? It was about noontime, so I said, okay. So we walked back. He says, I'm going over the east side, over in a place on the other side of 5th. And we started to walk back, and we cut over 49th Street. And he looked in the window there, and you know what's on the corner of 49th there at 5th? Just east of 49th Street is Shermer's, the big Shermer's Music. And he says, hey, I got a friend here. Do you mind if I stop by for a second? So we went into this place. And we went up on the balcony, and his friend worked on the balcony up there, and his friend is in charge of the guitar section. You want to hear how this worked? It was a wild scene. So I all of a sudden, all of that came back to me. I had not been in a guitar section in my life, you know, since that, when I was a kid, and I looked, and, you know, it was all of a sudden like tears. I says, a guitar. I says, do you have a cheap guitar, man? You have a cheap guitar, and hey, wait a minute, fellas. Now, come on. Let's do the party afterwards, Marty. Now, come on, Marty, please. So no, not yet, you know. So I said to the guy, get out a cheap guitar. I want a cheap guitar. He says, oh, we don't have cheap guitars. This is Shermer's. You know, it was not Sears Roebuck. And they had these $9,000 organs and all that. So he says, well, here, how about this one? He reaches down on the case, and he gives me this little guitar. Listen to it. Doesn't that sound beautiful? I said, oh, for crying out loud. You know, and so I pick it up. See, I start the chord around. And I start playing with it, see. You know, there's a funny thing about feeling a guitar. Here? So I'm playing with this thing, see, and he looks at me and he says, you really dig guitars? And I said, no, actually, I don't dig guitars. I said, I just play a guitar a little bit once in a while, play around. And he says, you know, he looked at me and he says, you look like a guitar player. Well, of course, that's a terrible thing to say to a guy in 20th century America, you know. All those connotations coming up, you know. I mean, you know, I the next thing, all I need is a sign, you know, saying I love peace or something like that, you know, or I love or I'm a Pfeiffer reader or something, you know. All I need is a sign. By the way, you get a protest kit with all guitars now that are sold here in New York City with interchangeable signs. You get one that says Cuba C or Yankee No, or you get one that says Yankee C, Cuba No. It just depends. Of course, it depends whether you play the B flat or the C melody guitar. But nevertheless, we're talking about this thing, and so the upshot of it was, I got a guitar, and I had such a gas, such a terrific ball out of this thing, and I'm just telling you honestly, I don't pretend to be a guitar player, but I have a terrible past that I'm going to have to confess to. That we'll get into that later, but this guitar plays part of that past. And I took this guitar and I brought it back to the station. I plunked around. I started to play with the chords and all that. And I had such a fantastic time. Everybody in the 19th floor there, Marty, was sitting around there. I said, oh, you didn't know you played? And Claude, dee dee bop oh ba doo. Oh, I'm going to drink muddy water. Going to drink muddy water. Cause you done cut out on me, baby. Cut out on me, baby, like that big speckled bird. That great big fat speckled bird. Gonna sleep in the kitchen with my feet in the hall. Gonna drink muddy water. Oh, I'm gonna drink muddy water from that big fat old black oily river. Cause you done cut out on me, baby. Cut out on me, baby, like that big fat speckled bird that just flew away. Gonna drink muddy water.
Kitchen, feet in the hall, gonna drink muddy water, gonna sleep in the kitchen, cause you done cut out on me. You know, so anyway, the upshot of it is I had a ball with this guitar. And I called him back, and I told him, and just out of pure fun, you know, I just said, gee, I had a great time. And so the guy said to me, he said, you know, we've been talking ever since you left. And I said, you've been talking about what? He says, we wonder whether you can sell guitars to anybody. And I said, sell guitars on the radio, me? Sell guitars, me? He said, yeah. He says, We got a great guitar, and that's the guitar that I have here. He says, do you think you can sell the guitar that you are playing on the air? And I said, I think it's a great little guitar. He said, well, I'll tell you what. This is the best guitar, we think, in the world for the money. And he says, we'll put together this guitar. We'll sell it with a case. We'll put in a book on how to play it and a pitch pipe. The whole shooting match for $29.95. He says there aren't very, and listen to this thing, it has magnificent tone, really, for the, I was amazed when I got this thing. And if you're looking for a guitar for $29.95, it is a fantastic gift to give a kid, and he can really learn how to play it. All he has to do is learn from three or four chords, and he's in business. But it's at Shermer's. At 5 West 49th Street. And if you go down there, I'll tell you what, you go on up and don't do anything. Don't get hooked because it's got a lot of fancy $5,000 organs and stuff. You just go in there and you say, I want the cheap guitar, man. Seriously. And for $29.95, you will have the greatest guitar. And it's a beautiful guitar. It's not plastic or any jazz like that. It's a real guitar. Seriously. And, you want me to sing some more? Do you? I want, seriously, do you want? Yeah, I used to do, when I was a kid, when I first got started in radio, now the truth is going to come out. When I got started in radio, I worked in a lot of radio stations where they did live shows. And the live show that was on in the morning, usually, in these little radio stations, I'll never forget this guy used to come on, and this is the way the show would open. And I'm this kid, I'm about 17 years old, and I'm going to school, and it would open up like this. I was the engineer, and I was the announcer. And here's the way he would open it up. Good morning, all you kids, all you boys and gals out there. This is little old Texas Jimmy Watson, and I'm here, and I'm going to pick, and I'm going to sing, and we're going to have all kinds of fun this morning. Ooh, boy, isn't it a cold morning out here. Wow-wee, that old snow is just a-piling up, but we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to keep things warm, and we're going to keep things right hot here, right here on this old 1-2-3 spot on your dial. And by the way, before we go any further, folks, I'd like to tell you, I certainly want to tell you very much about how I would like to thank you for all those wonderful letters and cards. And a lady out in Moonbeam, Ohio sent me a great big birthday cake, and I want to tell you how you know it was my birthday. Oh, any of you folks got any cakes you want to send, you just know where to send them. Okay, let's get going. How am I doing, boy? And I'd like to tell all you kind folks out there about P. Runa and Colorback.
For those of you folks out there losing your that wonderful shine that you got in your hair, for those of you who got a little creeping grayness, you want to kind of hide it away from all those friends of yours, I'd like to tell you about Color Back. I'd like to tell you about Piruna. We'll tell you all those fine things. Now you can see that this is a form of pure, in a way, a form of pure American. I hate to use the word folk, but it's a pure American kind of entertainment. No other place in the world will you hear anything like that. And the relationship between the entertainer and the people he is entertaining is practically a one-to-one relationship. There is no separation, absolutely none. Most of the guys I knew who did these shows worked in bolt nut factories. They did. Yeah, and they'd go to work after the show. He would say, well, folks, got to get on to work now. Going to get out there in that old turnpike. Going to get out there in that hurly-burly and all that rustle and all that traffic. Pick up my lunch bucket. And I'm going to get down there and I'm going to make myself a good old honest dollar. So I want you to remember old Texas Jim Watson and listen in tomorrow morning at the same time when you hear... Goodbye, folks. And I suppose I got all kinds of complaining calls already, eh? One complaining call. Well, I'm sorry, Dad. You go back to WQXR where they're doing intelligent stuff. You'll like it there. What was he complaining about? Nothing. It just was my usual show, is what he said, huh? Yeah. Well, you see, I believe in this. I believe that as far as the philosophy of the show here is concerned, I think that one of the things that it's hard to talk about things that you know that most people don't know about. And interestingly enough, I find here in New York, most people have very, very definite ideas about what they want to hear and what they don't want to hear. Interesting. I've never seen people with more closed attitudes towards things than you find right here in New York City. I suspect because this city is the city that thinks it really has the world by the you-know-what. It really does. And even the lowest member of this community believes that he is far hipper than anybody else who lives anywhere else in the country. He just does, by definition. You know, I'm from New York. And it's a fascinating kind of provinciality. And I'm not, what I'm doing here tonight, in a way, is trying to tell you about a different kind of America. I'm not talking about folk singers in the village. This is about as authentic folk as, well, as any class in the, I'd say, in the undergraduate division of CCNY can get. It's more of a museum, really, what those people are working in, and it's interesting to hear the entertainers who come out of a Bible tradition, in a sense. These are people who come out of the hard-bitten, what Mencken used to call the, well, he used to call it, as a matter of fact, the Bible Belt. You probably know this. And these people are people who sing almost in a, I hate to use the term liturgical way, but they sing in a way about life, death, happiness, in a very realistic and a very, I suppose you might say, a way that says, in a sense, that everybody is damned and no one will ever escape. Now, a good example of that, of course, I sound like a folk singer here or something. Well, now, folks, I want to tell you about a tune that came up the old Ohio River Valley. It was sung by the men who made the barrel staves in that department, in that area. You know, that kind of show. Holy, please come back to the Red River Valley. Please come back to a heart that is true. I'll be here in the Red River Valley. I'll be waiting my... Oh, what did I do there? Waiting my darling for you. Oh, clinker, you. on that one. But these people sing out of a very different tradition. And one time when I was working on this radio station where this guy used to come in, a very funny story, just to tell you how close to the soil some of these people are. One morning this character came in and he was doing his music. And I'm sitting on the other side of the glass, you see, with a microphone hanging down, and I'm doing the announcing and so forth. And I used to do the station breaks, and he'd come in for 45 minutes, and he would just pick and sing. As he said, I'll pick and sing here for you, play all those tunes you've been requesting. I'd like to make a few dedications here for some fine folks who are having birthdays and weddings out there. You know that kind of thing they did. Well, he was in the middle of his show one morning, and I'm sitting in there, and all of a sudden, a man is on the other side of the glass door that led out into the little lobby. You see, they went down to the basement of the station, and there's a man standing, and then he's knocking on the glass. Well, I wave him away. You see, I go like, get out, we're doing a radio program. People used to just wander into this radio station, and I wave him away. It's about 7:30 in the morning. And he says no. He just waves no, and he takes out of his pocket a piece of paper. And I look at the paper, and I can't figure out what it is, and he holds it up at the glass, and on the top of it, it says, by order of the court. And I, what? And I open the door, and in comes, and it's the sheriff. I had never seen a real live sheriff before, and he opens up his coat, and on his vest is a little badge, a little gold badge, and it says, Erie County Sheriff. I says, what? He says, I'm the sheriff. He says, is this Texas Jim in here? And I say, yeah, that's Texas Jim. He says, well, I'm going to have to pinch him. I said, what? He says, yeah. He says, he's in trouble. I said, what do you mean he's in trouble? He says, he's in trouble. And he says, none of your business what he's in trouble for, but I'm going to pinch him. And I said, well, you got to wait until the show is over. He says, oh, no, I don't. I said, but you do. We've got another 20 minutes to go. And old Texas in there going, ooh, boo, 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 boo. And he's singing and picking away there. And I couldn't do anything about it. I'm only about 17 years old. And, you know, you don't argue with the Erie County Sheriff. And so with that, I go into the studio, and I take a little piece of paper, and I say, sign it off, Tex. Tex looks up at the clock, and he sees he's got 20 minutes more. And he's pointing at the clock. I say, sign it off, Tex. And Tex says, well, I'll be a picking and singing right here tomorrow morning at the same time. Folks going to get started a little early here, you know. I busted the fan belt on the old Chevy, and I'm going to have to get out and do something about it. So you just keep a listening for Well, I faded him down. I put a transcription 1 minute spot on the air, and the sheriff walked into the studio, grabbed him by the collar, and I saw him talking in there, you know, it was very, very quiet. It was a soundproof studio. Grabbed him by the collar, marched him right out. Tex waved at me, and he's got his guitar in one hand, and the sheriff's got his wrist by the other. And that's the last I ever saw of Texas. That's the last I ever saw of him. So what happened was that I played the 1 minute transcription, and I go in there, and I just continued right on, you see, as though nothing had happened. I did the P ruin of spots, the color back spots, went right on, never missed a beat. So these people are very close to the soil. I don't know what he was picked up for, but he sure was, and he never came back. By the way, and his entire week's salary from the last week is still there, as far as I know, all $8. And he never came back to get it. I don't know. It's hard to talk much about a thing like this, because I'm sure that it's entirely out of your framework. It's out of the framework of most, when I say framework, it's out of your frame of reference. It's out of the reference frame that most people here in New York City have. And I believe this, though. I believe that way out there and in those little sullen spots of the dial that come on between the big spots here in New York City, you will hear clues as to why a lot of things happen in the country that mystify you totally. Yes, you know, there's a big country out there, and this country does not consist of New York City. It does not consist of Boston and the Eastern Complex. It really doesn't. And the minute you forget this is probably the minute you will begin to be mystified by various things that happen in Washington, by statements that are made and by what seems to be strange attitudes that come out of senators and newscasters and so on. I believe that this country is made up of roughly five countries. I really do. I believe that by the accident of communications and by the accident of a constitution, that what essentially is five geographical areas settled by five different types of populations have been welded loosely together into one thing called a country. Now, I believe that the South, for example, is almost totally a different country. Now, they have the same language, but I think in the basic things that make a country, which is a kind of unified social attitude, a vision, I suppose you might call it a philosophy, I think that the South is separate from the big Northeastern complex that we are part of here. We belong to a very different thing because we were settled by different people all up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And then there is another great country that exists down in the Southwest. This is a country that has a lot of Mexican influence, that is largely Spanish, that has Indian influences, none of which, of course, touch us along here. Now, if we do have Indian influence in this area, it's of a very different kind, different Indians. There were very different Indians along this area. And then I think another country that exists is the Great Bowl of the Midwest. Now, this is essentially a great Protestant area that was founded by the Swedish. It was founded by the Lutherans. There's a lot of Lutherans out there. It was founded by a tremendous influx of people from Germany. There were essentially a Protestant settlement out there. And because they were separated largely from both oceans, they began to develop a terrible sense of sin, much greater than the sense of sin that people have in this area. And so naturally that becomes the Bible Belt. And you'll find most of their music, the music that people are singing out there, relates to unrequited, totally worthless love. And a sense of a real sense of defeat that runs through it. And yet it's a kind of sense that says, here's an example of this. I mean, here. Yeah, this is probably bum. We don't have time. No, we just don't have time to do it. It's funny, this stuff can hook you, you know. Tomorrow night at this same time, we will give you chord lesson number 7 and 8. This is a chord that is specially designed for dark nights in the pad. It's a magnificent chord, a minor chord, and a chord that I'm sure will spell instant success for those of you who wish to actually work on your keyboard lessons. Work hard on your fingering there, friends, and don't forget to strum down when you work. And we'll be a-picking and a-singing this way for you tomorrow morning at this same time. So I'd just like to say, when you hear this, old Jimmy's going to be right here. Old Jimmy's sprung, and he's going to be right here a-picking and a-singing.
October 10th, 1962, from the Gary Hines collection, Lost Gene Shepherd, unavailable anywhere, but right here in the dustbin of history on WBAI New York. I'm your curator and janitor, Max Schmid, urging you to support this radio station. Go to WBAI.org, our web page, and look for ways to donate. Be my buddy. Become a sustaining member of WBAI. $10 a month. You commit for a year, and, well, we'll know that we have money coming in the first of any particular month. We'll know how much money there is, which bills we can pay, which bills we can dodge, but only with your support. All of the money we get, outside of some union contributions, from listeners just like you, who enjoy and appreciate what it is that we do on WBAI. So please, if you're not already a member, at least become a $25 basic annual member. If you can afford more, $10 or more a month, be a buddy for WBAI. All the details are on our webpage, WBAI.org. So have a look. Join me here next week for another edition of the Dustbin of History. One more Witch's Tale, I think. More Hall of Fantasy and another lost episode of Gene Shepherd. I'll also be here Sunday night for the Golden Age of Radio, 8 until 10, right here on WBAI New York. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. So long, gang.
Hi, George. Well, finished with the show. What do you want me to do now?
Did you have a good time in there?
Yeah. Oh, boy, it was fun.
Great. How'd you like to do it every day?
Yeah, yeah. That would be neat. Hey, wait a minute. Do I still get to be the janitor?
Sure.
Oh, okay. It's a deal. Well, I'm going back.